I'm staring at the eviction notice. I'm frozen, terrified. I'm thinking about Laura, my little daughter, and my baby who'll be born into homelessness. Today, I can tell you straight up, if it wasn't for Threshold and the people who donate to them, me and my girls would be homeless.
Threshold saves 9 families every day from homelessness. Please support our At Home for Christmas appeal. Help us stop homelessness before it happens.
Visit threshold.ie to make an instant Christmas donation.
Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and this is a quick reaction podcast on the basis of events took place last night in the Dáil whereby Sinn Féin's spokesperson for sport, among other things, Chris Andrews, TD Chris Andrews, put a topical issue to Minister Roderick O'Gorman, who happened to be taking the questions, fielding them on behalf of the various ministers in government. And it was kind of, I suppose it was appropriate that Roderick was there, given his position also as the Minister for Children, looking after this aspect of it, not indeed the Minister for Sport, who it kind of related to as well. But if you haven't heard the audio, I'll link to it in the pod. In a sense, what he has said is that St. John's Ambulance have an independent investigation being overseen by Dr. Geoffrey Shannon, and while the victims themselves have given their testimonies and their evidence forward, St. John's Ambulance, now 9 months later, haven't complied with it. And Chris Andrews raised the point that, you know, St. John's Ambulance work with some of the biggest sporting organizations, voluntary organizations in the country, be it the IRFU, GAA, and in effect, that they receive state money. So, you know, it's not a big leap to say we're paying money to an organization that's not complying with an investigation into childhood sexual abuse. And to discuss this now, I'm actually joined by one of the victims and one of the people who's given his evidence and one of the people who continues to speak out and was mentioned in both Chris Andrews, but not by name, by Roderick Minister O'Gorman, Mick Finnegan. Mick, how are you and what did you make of that 7 or 8 minutes of drama late last night in the Dáil?
Yeah, I was shocked by the minister's response, you know. I just don't understand why the organization, St. John's Ambulance, get to dictate the terms of all of this. Do you know what I mean? They've not engaged at all. They've not engaged with survivors. And they continue to re-traumatize survivors by behaving like this.
And I think that was what, yeah, Roderick O'Gorman, the Minister O'Gorman, he put it that, you know, Geoffrey Shannon has to be allowed to do his job. He's the investigator and he's done this. But it's clear from what your own interactions with Geoffrey Shannon, and no one's calling Geoffrey Shannon into his integrity or anything into question. Not far from it. The man is trying to do his job. But from your interactions with him, he's not, St. John's Ambulance haven't really complied or actually honored their side to come to the table. It seems yeah, very much that it's like either Roderick O'Gorman was unaware of this, or he's kind of trying to keep that hands off approach and not involve himself. And I just don't think that's very fair.
No, exactly. And like, you know, the minister would be aware of this. I've written to the minister over almost monthly since September, and I've not gotten a response from his office. You know, from the emails that I've sent him addressing those concerns in relation to kind of the lack of meaningful engagement. You know, this organization is supposed to, you know, serve the community, you know what I mean? And it's supposed to be professional, but they've done nothing in any way to support the victims. They've done nothing to, you know, to engage with Dr. Shannon. Like, I was sitting in the room with Dr. Shannon in the Ashling Hotel, you know, with his colleagues, and I've got the utmost respect for them. You know, I can't fault them because they've been very open and honest with me. But when I'm handing them documents, you know, for instance, the referral from the referral by the Child Protection Officer back in 2014, now bear in mind, I first disclosed all this in 1998. And it's only in 2014 that the John's Ambulance Child Protection Officer made a referral to the relevant health board at the time. But for sure, there was no use to me. I was an adult then. You know what I mean? I just don't understand, like, why they're behaving the way they're behaving. And yet there doesn't seem to be any accountability there.
Well, what worries me is, again, I don't think it's enough has been made of the fact that this is an organization that, you know, has people, volunteers and people activists within it, standing at the side of pitches, helping in different events and things like that, and are not complying. Like, I mean, the minister kept saying that he's assured that St. John's Ambulance now comply with TUSLA criteria for that.
Listen, anyone can have a fully compliant child safety statement. It's a bit of paper with the organ. Like, you go Google it. And you can get a copy of a child safety statement and you can pull Tortoiseshack across the top of it. And there you go. There's a child safety statement. It's not about the policies and the procedures. What this is about is that the organization, the people that are in that organization and in charge making the decisions were in charge when I was a child. The guy asked him, did any of the senior officers engage with himself? Did anyone within St. John's Ambulance engage? And he was like, no, not yet. Have they reached out? Have any one of the? Because you would think 9 months. Like, what was happening for the last? What was happening for the last 9 months? Was you know, with John's Ambulance hoping that if they bury their head in the sand that this will go away?
We don't want to speculate too much, but we can say that the fact that they haven't provided documentation, they haven't responded to requests, and they've offered what has to be called like a kind of dismissive, here's a few counselling sessions for the victims who've come forward.
Six, I think, and then another three.
But even that
in itself was flagged by the inquiry team. You know, they did know that it was wholly inappropriate to give 8 counselling sessions to survivors when, you know, after 8 sessions, you're literally probably only getting into the meat of everything. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like there's a plaster for your broken leg. You know what I mean? What the survivors need is, you know, stability. They need ongoing support. You know, the option has to be there. But these sessions that they offer were online. And not all the counsellors within the online platform were actually experts in child protection or historical child abuse.
Yeah, Mick, I'm only led by you, and I know listeners will be aware that I'm not unbiased here. We've known each other a while now, and we're friends. But I just feel, you know, the fact that I don't see where there has to be a way to compel them to get to the table now and bring this, not drag this out any longer than is necessary. I know time frame, we say 9 months gone, which means in a sense, you know, Geoffrey Shannon's supposed to be actually reporting within 12 months. So there's not long left in terms of that thing. And my fear, and I'm speculating now and I shouldn't be, but I fear that we're looking at an extension to this thing, because if they're not complying now and then they have to come to the table with the information that they're supposed to supply between over the last 9 months. I mean, this means this is more problematic for yourself as a victim and people who are engaging with the process. And unfortunately, it says something about the people at the top of that organization. It sends a message that, you know, they've published a statement on their social media, as Roderick O'Gorman, the minister, pointed out. They've put up a statement on their Facebook page and they've said, we're doing this, that, and the other.
They did it once on social media at, I think, 11 o'clock at night, where there was little traffic, where these statements that they put out on their various social media platforms would not be seen. You know, like, you would like to think that the organization would take child protection quite seriously. I don't think they do, you know, and that's not speculation. That's fact, because of how they behaved. You know, we're talking, you know, 23 years later, and we're still talking about the same thing. 23 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, you get less for more. Like, I'm not behind like that. Like, you know, like, it just shocks me. It really does shock and upset. Not just me, but the other lads that were mentioned last night, and also the other survivors that have come forward and have made complaints and have been let down by the state. You know, like, the 5 adult complainants. Mm. And every single time the DPP is like, no prosecution.
Yeah,
that makes you think. You know what I mean? When you see people that are getting prosecuted for less, you know, and I'm not here to judge or question the DPP's role, but I do definitely think the organisation, St. John's Ambulance, needs to be held accountable. They need to be, you know, told what to do, because they're not engaging. Even from a whole legal perspective, right? they won't, like, we have to motion them in order to get them to respond to anything. They're not, they won't go, oh yeah, here you go, here you go. No, we have to motion them and take it to the food court every time that we need to get a response from them.
Well, Mick, I know this is just a short pod and you've something else to be getting to, but I do think it's important listeners understand what happened, because it happened late last night in the Dáil. It's easy to miss it, you know, and I think it's a really important question, because there are going to be parents going out to bring the kids to football matches, GAA matches, rugby pitches and all the rest of it. And we have to know that the organizations that are supplying these, and this is not a knock on volunteers and activists and people, and this is a knock on the senior people within that organization that haven't come to the table over one of the most egregious crimes you can do. It's the sexual abuse of a child. It's the rape of a child. So no, it's not good enough to say, just leave Geoffrey Shannon do his work, Minister. I think you need to actually actively engage in the process and find out why they haven't complied over the last 9 months. You're in the seat. And I hate to say this, but it just, you know, we've seen victims speaking out about how disappointed they are in the redress scheme for the mother and baby homes recently. And now this is both under your watch, Minister O'Gorman. And this is not me picking on you, but these are the facts. You've got to get these right. And please do more. Push, and drag them to the table. Mick Finnegan, thanks for talking to me this morning. I hope you're keeping well. And we'll catch up with you and keep an eye on this. Just a note for listeners, you probably heard an ad for Threshold at the beginning. Don't be shy and maybe support the work that those guys are doing as well. We're proud to be partnering with a few charities over the Christmas. I'd throw in a few ads. And obviously we're not charging. So, but if you were going to throw a couple of quid, do it that way. And we will talk to you all very, very soon. Take care. Bye bye.
Tony and Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.